Miller Lite, the official beer partner of your Philadelphia Phillies, is proud to serve as presenting sponsor of WIP's High Hopes Pod. So whether you're listening to the game, catching up on the latest High Hopes Pod, or at the ballpark, remember, it tastes like Miller time, Phillies fans. Celebrate responsibly. This is the High Hopes Podcast. High Hopes. It's a bunch of baseball nerds talking about the Phillies on Odyssey and Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Oh, it is another edition of the High Hopes Podcast. Jack Fritz, I got nothing to say. How you doing? How you doing? Nothing's happened. Nothing's changed since we last talked. We'll get into some stuff coming up, but I got no lead right now. There's no lead. I got no lead, man.
Wow.
I know you do, because you're going to talk about how some, the 13th ranked farm. Well,
should not be that low, by the way.
Yeah. Is the future favorite player of your future child, or whatever take you're going to have on it. I know you're ready for this, but I don't have much to say other than how you doing, buddy.
Well, I think the offseason pods. See, the last couple of years, we'd still be talking about free agency.
Oh, yeah, buddy.
And we'd still be doing the whole, could they sign this guy? And, who's this guy? Now, our big debate is, do you want Adam Duvall to round out the roster? And it's interesting. It's an adjustment. And really, how I view High Hopes right now is that it's a time where you and I and the people that like this podcast, we all just come together for once a week and just catch up with our lives,
I like that. It's just talking about your parenting class the other day.
Yes, I have to get into that. Thank you for the reminder.
Yeah. Oh, I got you, buddy. That's what I'm here for. Honestly, I'm far more interested in that than in anything to say Phillies, because it's too early to do the lineup stuff. It just feels forced right now. We're gonna do it all. You're right. I think we should just say hi and catch up. How are you, buddy?
Well,
things are good.
Well, I'll say this. We are, as of this morning, officially closer to the 2023, the first pitch of 2023, than we are the last pitch of 2022. Now, I'm not sure what happened in the last pitch of 2022. In my mind, the World Series ended after game three, I don't remember what happened. And
three game series, won it.
Phillies are World Series champions.
You don't remember the parade? It was pretty great, Jack.
Yeah. I don't remember. I still, to this day, James, I think you have described me as a glutton for punishment when it comes to Phillies fandom. I like it in a way. I like feeling the pain all over again.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a little masochism there, you might say. Phillies masochism. Is that a term that we can coin here? And better question, is that a term we want to coin here?
I don't think so.
Phillies masochism.
Well, especially because we've turned over a new leaf with this team.
I mean, now they're great. We got nothing to complain about. You're right.
But even I have not. I still have not seen a replay of the Yordan Alvarez home run.
I have not purposefully, but it's. Well, I know when I saw it. I was like, wait, when did I see it? I saw it during the yearbook. You turned away.
I turned away. Yeah, I didn't see it.
Okay, that makes sense. Because I was like, wait, I didn't think I had seen it, but I definitely did see it recently.
Yeah.
Where did I see it? Yeah, it's in the yearbook.
I don't plan on.
Questionable choice by the yearbook team. I mean, they did a great job, obviously, as we talked about last pod, but. Maybe don't show us that. I don't know.
Yeah, we don't need it to be, we don't need it to be realistic.
Here's what you do. You do the game three and the homers and the barrage and maybe a shot of me injuring my ankle, which is still injured.
Seriously, this is the biggest milky of an injury I've seen in my entire life.
I'm wearing the boot at home again.
Oh, my God, dude.
I know. But here's what you do. You do that whole game, and the Phillies are up 2-1, and they lost. But here comes Trey Turner, and that's it. One line. Obviously, here's what you – ready? I got it. All right, ready? For next time this happens, which hopefully is never, because hopefully we win the World Series next time. But for the yearbook team, ready? It's game three happens. Excitement. The bank is rocking. Everyone's going crazy on that. And, what a lead, and then 2-1. And obviously, unfortunately, we couldn't close it out, and we lost. But, and then you pivot to next year. Boom. No highlights, no nothing. We don't need to see anything else from it. We all know boom, right? Wouldn't that have been better?
Well, and to be fair, as someone that's watched these before, I'm pretty sure that's what they did in 09, 10, and 11. Like, I don't think, I might be wrong, but I don't think they showed Howard on the ground with the Achilles in 11.
I didn't see it. I have not frequented the yearbooks like you, but it would be crazy if they did. Why do we even want to? This is, see, look, I get it when it's a 30 for 30, or it's like a sports documentary or something that is meant to be this impartial document or cataloging of this great event or this great team or this moment or whatever. Like, I get it. You got to show it all in that case. This isn't that. This is Phillies porn. Like, this is just for us. Like, this is only for, not one single non-Phillies fan will watch the yearbook. Like, no one wants it. Like, play to your audience, Jack. Am I right?
Well, there's that. We don't need journalistic integrity. That is not what we do on this podcast. Like, we don't need the whole story. And at that point, we know how it ended. You know what I mean? Like, I know everyone's seen it.
We're all there.
We know exactly how it ended. And I don't think we need, now Neighbor Dan, even I haven't done this, but Neighbor Dan did buy the World Series DVD. So, like, I guess he would constitute as the one that wants the entire story.
which is not surprising. That is how we ultimately found out about the massive slight to us.
Yes.
So, it's good that we knew about that at least.
No,
that has to be continually brought up and mentioned so it doesn't happen again.
Yes. It's probably the biggest single slap in the face I've ever gotten. As a member of the media at this point, was Elliot Shore Parks being in the World Series DVD over you or I. Like, I know I was accused, James, of being a me guy during Harper Lent. I know there was that.
Why were you accused? Was there anything that you did that warranted that? Or,
well, for new listeners of the podcast, during Harper Lent, yes, the revolutionary idea that brought Bryce Harper to Philadelphia. I was asked by someone for like some San Francisco website, about it, how'd it come about, what's going on with it. And I said, me and the guy I do the podcast with, like, we came up with it. It's our bid, and Philadelphia has rallied behind it. Now I still don't see where the slight is, frankly. I'm speaking to a San Francisco website. I didn't think I had to say, James Seltzer of Philadelphia, PA.
Let me spell that for you.
Yes. Yes.
Well, the funniest part too is that I didn't even know about it, but everyone came to, it was people getting outraged for me, which really made me warm my heart. I didn't even know about it. And all these people were sending me like clips of like it and being like circling the words and being like, look at this. And I was like, okay. I see how it is.
Yeah. So even me with someone that has had me guy accusations in the past, even I was like, at least get Seltzer on there. If it's not me, at least be Seltzer. It being Elliot is just so disingenuous to the sport of baseball.
it's a real slap in the face. Not just to us, but I mean,
well,
to the sport.
It's probably like, the MLB, they've gotten better the last couple of years of, letting media members, actually have fun talking about baseball. So it's not just the old like, analytics, yada, yada, yada. And I would say that we are the faces of that in Philadelphia. And I think we collectively have brought the fan base into the 21st century when it comes to baseball and how it should be played today and whatnot. And to not,
I mean, self-proclaimed leaders of a movement, if I'm not mistaken, right, Jack?
To not reward us with being in the World Series DVD and on the other hand, reward a guy who has mocked baseball. Frankly, and just learned about the Phillies in October is very disappointing. Now, I will say, the union made up for it, and they sent me a Christmas card, and Elliot...
I heard about this. It's hilarious. It's so good. Honestly, it makes me like the union way more than I did. I like the union, right? I'm not a huge soccer guy, but obviously go union, whatever, but I like them more now. Like, I'm more in on the union. That was hilarious.
Yeah, so I don't know which is the bigger slight. me getting a Union Christmas card or Elliot being in the World Series DVD?
I mean, it's the World Series
yes,
DVD.
Yes, it is, 100%.
I mean, one's the World Series and one's...
a card.
You know, and the MLS. I mean, let's be honest,
yeah,
you know?
Differently. And, I mean, but, and think about it this way. Like, think about I'm going to continue on this.
And we got nothing else to talk about. We could do this for 30 and get out. I think that should work.
but think about this aspect. And I'm sure you haven't thought about this, but I have.
I'm sure I have not, whatever you're about to say, yes.
Think about the children that...
No, I definitely haven't. Honestly, if you had given me 1,000 guesses there, I would not have gotten to think about the children. So expound.
Okay. Just think about the children that are going to be... that were like me growing up. I would watch all these DVDs and I would be like, oh, who's that brilliant baseball mind that is talking like the Tom Verducci's, you know,
the Jason Starks, the Peter Gammons,
the super
those.
Who is the super old guy that was like a baseball this is like the worst thing to do on a visual podcast, but just envision the oldest looking baseball writer you could think of. He's always on the ESPN All Century like videos from way back in the day, like just the oldest possible looking baseball writer. Like this, by the way, quick side note, I think that's the dumbest 30 seconds I've ever done on this podcast was what I just did. Like, I don't think I've ever done anything dumber than what I just did the last 30 seconds. Like, no one has any idea of what I'm talking about.
I was enjoying it, to be honest. For what it's worth, I was right. I was locked in with you.
I know, but I was like, this is the...
It started to meander a little bit.
I know.
It was like, all right.
I think his name... I'm going to make it even worse. I think his name is Frank. Wait, was it DeFrank? Hold on. Was there someone named DeFrank, baseball writer?
Hold on.
Oh, what the heck was his name?
Now that you said that, it's throwing me off from his actual name.
He's a super old guy.
I know. It's Frank something. I know who you're talking about, but I think it's Frank de something.
Yes.
Or something. Yes. But it's throwing me off that I can't get
Frank
the
DeFord?
Frank out of
Frank
my...
DeFord?
Thank you. It's something like that. Yes. I think
that's him. Anyway, he seemed to be in all those videos growing up that I would watch of, like, you know, Gehrig and Aaron and Mays, like all these this century.
Dude, I loved it. Like Mel Allen, I watched so many of those Mel Allen, like the Mel Allen 500 Home Run Club video, the Mel Allen 3000 Hit Club. I watched all the TWIB, you know, like episodes of This Week in Baseball. All that stuff was so great. It was so great.
Yeah. So think about the kids, you know, Verducci, Stark, Gammons, DeFord, or DeFrank.
I think it's DeFord. I think you're right.
And then Elliot Shoreparks. You know what I mean? Like that's really what does it for me. It's like the kids are gonna be like, oh wow, let me go look up and see what he's got on Twitter, and it's gonna be some stupid Eagles tweet, you know?
Yeah, tweeting recently that all pizza's the same. It's like stop tweeting. Don't do that.
Yeah, he can't help himself. He can't help himself. So the good part about it, James, is that we're clearly over it. And we're not viewing it as a massive slight to the brand, but I have no idea how I'm going to transition out of what we just talked about back to whatever our main topic for this podcast was.
We didn't have a main topic. So,
yes.
Yeah. No, so we're good. You're good. I think we were really just complaining about Elliot being on the DVD and not us.
Yes.
You know, somehow I've spent the majority of this podcast doing that. Oh. What a listen. What a listen this is going to be, buddy.
I know what I was going to ask you. Is there any loss in this upcoming Eagles run that, like, I don't know how to feel about the World Series yet, James. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know how to feel about them losing the World Series yet. Like, when it first happened, I was crushed, and it was like, that stinks, and... you know, I think they kind of blew an opportunity here to ultimately, you know, steal a World Series in a sense. And then I would say like the 2 weeks out, I was like, you know what? That was freaking awesome. I watched all the highlights, like time of my life, you know, and I miss it so much and I want it back. And I it's almost like I've gotten over the sting of the loss. And the only thing that would make it more painful, James, it's one of those things where it's going to age painfully. Like, I wasn't alive in 93, But I'm sure that, sorry to make you feel old again, but I'm sure that
we're back to what we do.
I'm sure that in like 94, 95, like you were thinking, oh, we'll get back. Like we'll get back. And it wasn't until they went into the depths of terrible baseball that you were like, well, damn it. Like that was our only run.
Yeah.
And the difference is obviously that this team is just much more well positioned. But at the same time, you know, it was.
It's hard.
It's really hard. The friggin'
So it's funny that you're bringing this up. So like, because I've thought about it a lot, and the thing that sticks with me was what you said right after it happened. Like that's kind of what stuck with me the longest. They had a golden opportunity where 8,000 unbelievable things went their way, and they came up short, and it's really hard to get back and do it again. Like it will go down as one of my favorite Phillies teams of all time. It will go down as my favorite run of all time, just because of what we got to do and the experience we had. But I think it's also like going to be maybe my most painful loss too, if that makes sense.
But does it feel painful right now?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it does. It does.
Interesting.
It really does. It still does. And to your point, I think with each year they don't win, it will be like they need to win to erase it. Like they need to win, or else each year it'll feel that much more painful. And look, it could have more painful losses, and hopefully we don't. But I mean, that, you know, I think they'll make the playoffs. I'm excited for the possibility and the what could happen, and they're battle tested. And, you know, I am hopeful, and I do think they have a real chance. But like if they don't win one, I think it's such a great point by you. Like, you know, the more we're talking this out, I think like each year it'll be harder and harder to not feel more that it was a missed opportunity than it was, than it was just like, oh, great run. You know what I mean?
And you know what's going to be, you know what's going to hurt in a way, James, is that when they make the playoffs again, whether I hope it's this year, obviously, like it'd be devastating if they don't. But the difference between the next time they make the playoffs and what happened last year is that there was no expectations. And now it's going to be like, okay, go in and create that magical run and get us back to the World Series like you did. Now, there are teams like the 14-15 Royals that, you know, got to the World Series, lost, and then went back and won it. And it's like, that's the perfect outcome of this whole entire thing.
Yeah, totally.
Obviously not like tearing it down and whatnot, but you know, now it's so hard to recreate the magic that team had, and it's going to take longer, I think, for the city will be more in on the regular season. The city will be the ballparks should be more filled up, but I also think there's going to be a bit of a portion that's going to be like, all right, we'll hurry up and win. And that was the difference of that mindset versus coming out of nowhere, going on a run, and the city being like, I need to watch the Phils right now. Like, I need to see what they're going to do next. And that's the part that kind of sucks, is that you almost had to go through the 10 years of pain and misery to get to the point where it's like, this is freaking incredible. And you know, when they make the playoffs again, it's just going to, if they don't win it again and they don't get to the World Series, it's just going to make everything that much more painful. And it's going to make this age, this loss age worse. But where I'm going with this is, and I know this isn't an Eagles podcast, but I was thinking about it today, like, this Eagles team is so good. How do you view an Eagles loss this year? If it's like in the Super Bowl, it's like, okay, that's fine, whatever. Like, we're going to be back. NFC Championship game, is that crushing? Is that like one of those losses that we look back on, like Rondé Barber, Joe Carter, Howard Achilles? You know, is it going to be one of those, or is it going to be like 08, where like they lost in the NFC Championship game, but it's not like something that people always bring up?
So, first and foremost, such a sign of what this Phillies offseason is that you're bringing up freaking Eagles topics. on high hopes.
215-592-9494.
Really hammer that home. You know, scroll down in your pod feed. You might see a pod called "Who Cares About the Eagles."
Well, hold on. I'm trying to combine the Phillies losing in the World Series versus
it's actually a really apt and interesting comparison and thing to think about. It's just hilarious because, you know, you're the no Eagles guy.
I believe it or not, I do like the Eagles.
I know you do. I'm saying on this pod, you know, you're not the one to bring it up. All right. So I actually think that the reason you bring it up is how I feel. Like with the Eagles, the way I look at it is, you know, on a basic level, you know, I think Hurts and Sirianni, if you believe they're the guys, and I do, then I think this season in some ways is successful already in the idea that you found those two, and that's the most important thing in the sport. But I honestly think, and I know it would be quote unquote a successful season if they lost in the NFC Championship game, and I know that if they get to the Super Bowl, like, it can't be disappointing or anything. It's like, wow, what a great year. Everyone thought they would win, you know, 9 games or 10 games or 11 maybe, whatever. And now they're in the Super Bowl. But I actually really think that, you know, and I felt this way really most after the, ironically enough, the Giants game that made it, you know, 12-1 or whatever when they beat him 48-22. And it hasn't really changed even with the injuries because the guys are coming back. I'm kind of going to be disappointed with this Eagles season if they don't win the Super Bowl almost no matter what. And well, I think
will
part
it,
of that.
Will it match the Phillies losing the World Series? Like
No. It won't be as crushed as that Phillies loss. So
they lose in the Super Bowl just like the Phillies lost in the World Series. You're more crushed by the World Series loss.
Absolutely. Yeah. And that there's a ton of reasons for that, but absolutely.
What about when the Flyers? Just kidding.
No.
Well, what's interesting is that. Because, like, bringing this to all the sports now, which is what we do here at WIP, is like, with this with the Sixers, is that it's pretty much just, like...
What are you doing? It's great.
Well, I'm just saying, like, I'm looking at the expectations for all the teams, right? And the expectations for the Phillies were just like, this is freaking awesome. But it's also,
yeah, I get it.
But it's also...
Now it's win the World Series.
But now it's win the World Series. Yeah. Which and
the Sixers, it's, you know, win the second round.
And there's a part of me that wonders, like, are we going to get to a point with this Phillies team if they don't get it done in the next couple of years where it's like, wake me up when you get there? Because that's where I feel like a lot of the fan base is with the Sixers. It's just like, yeah, you know, like, wake me up when you get out of the second round.
But the Eagle, I mean, the Phillies just last year had multiple rounds more success than the Sixers have had.
Of course.
Like, the Sixers thing, I think, is that they haven't gotten past the second round. They were the one seed the one year. Embiid's been MVP candidate for years now and all that. And, like, they even get past the second round. So I think it's a different situation where I do think the Phillies will have that pressure on it. But I think the Phillies is just one year they made the playoffs, and it was an unexpected great run at the end. I think people will... Like, I think people's expectations, while they'll say they want them to win the World Series, I think people will go into next year expecting them to make the playoffs. I don't think people will expect them to win the World Series. I think they will think they can. I think that you know, obviously some people will. But I think on the whole, I don't think the expectations will jump to what you're talking about quite yet. I think it's a couple more years of this and then they're fully there. You know what I mean? Yeah. Whereas with the Sixers, and it's not even win the championship, like the Sixers, we just wanted to get past the second round of the playoffs because it's every year, you know? So I think it's a little different. I get your point, but I think it's a little different.
Yeah, I agree. But my overall point is just win the World Series. It shouldn't be that hard.
Yeah,
it shouldn't be that hard.
The big take is when you have an opportunity to, you know, become legends.
Yeah.
Like that's pretty much it, you know? And we said that. We said that in the World Series. We said that exact thing and they tried and, you know, they came up short against a more talented team. But, you know, I'm happy you said it this way, the age poorly things. I think the most interesting thing we've talked about in this whole conversation is that you are absolutely right that if they don't win, 2022 will age poorly in that way. We will look back, like, we'll always love that run and we'll have fond memories and we'll love that team and that group of guys and Dancing on My Own and the whole thing and the bank. And if any person was in the building for any of those games, you know, maybe other than couple, which we won't talk about. We'll have such fond memories of all that. But I do think that if they don't win the World Series and we move further and further away from it, there it was going to be a more bitterness than sweet to that bittersweet memory, you know?
Yeah. I will say, I all this is just making me think about how legendary it's going to be when Bryce is going down Broad Street leading the float.
Oh my God, dude. I can't wait. I like seeing Bryce Harper play playoff baseball again is now like the single thing I care most about outside of maybe some Zoe related things, but that's close. Like otherwise, like it's the number one thing I want. Like a micro versus macro in this, with Harper being the macro. Like, let me explain it this way. Like, last night watching that football game, the Cowboys and Bucks, see, now I'll do my own cross.
215-592-94. Make sure you throw the phone number out.
Like in a moment in a game, I may never have been more excited in my life for the fourth and fifth kicks. And obviously made the fifth, but when he missed the fourth, it was just such an epic moment to miss your fourth straight in a game. Like, I was so excited. Like, it was my favorite thing that happened all year. Like, I couldn't wait in that game. All I wanted was, like, I was actually like, Dallas score a touchdown just so I could see this freaking extra point attempt here. Like, that's how I feel about Bryce Harper. Like, nothing else in the baseball season. I'll care about other things, but nothing will matter as much as just needing to see that dude in the playoffs again. Like, I need it now. Like, yeah. That was the coolest thing I've ever seen.
Well, and obviously, you know, him dominating. Like him.
That's
just
the point. Yeah, absolutely. That's the point. I want to see him do it again. Yeah. Like, do it again.
I know. Couple with that.
Put on a show for us, Bryce.
Yeah, couple with that will be Andrew Painter's first playoff start. It's been something I've been thinking about a lot recently. Like, you know, him coming up and morphing into like the next ace of possibly Major League Baseball. Like, you know, I think it was Gelb. It was one. I'm sorry if I forget who it is. Because I do. But someone wrote, I think.
I'm sorry if I forget. Should say, I'm sorry that I forget.
I think it was Gelb. But there's been three teenagers since like 1980 that have pitched in Major League, since 1990 that have pitched in Major League Baseball. And like, he could be the fourth one, like Felix Hernandez, Kershaw, and was it Todd Van Poppel? Is that who it was, James? I mean, you're old.
Yeah, Todd, look at you, Todd Van Poppel. Yeah, he was a legit guy. Didn't work out. Became a reliever at a certain point and all that. But yeah,
but it's
good,
like
good pull there.
But we're thinking about this kid could come like, and the way they're not downplaying any of the Andrew Painter stuff. Like my read at the end of last year when they were talking about it, I was like, yeah, I get it, but like, this is a pretty big ask for a 19-year-old. And ever since then, everything you've seen written about him is like, no, he's going to be in the rotation. It's like, what planet are we living in right now? The guy who was in high school 2 years ago by the time the season starts is now expected to be a major contributor on a team that has World Series aspirations. And when you go through the starting staff, you're like, all right, Wheeler, Nola, Ranger. That's a great 1-2-3. And I'm guilty of this too, James. Dude, what if Andrew Painter is just ridiculous? And it's like, so you, and it's, and then Taiwan Walker becomes your five. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's freak. I keep having to.
I can hear the excitement.
I keep having to calm myself down because it's like, all right, he's probably going to throw 100 innings this year. I don't want to get ahead of myself. We've seen young pitchers come up all the time and struggle, and it's usually like takes a couple years, figures out the game, comes back, and is dominant. Like that's honestly, in a perfect world, James, he comes up, struggles. Not in a perfect world. In a perfectly fine, realistic world that we've seen a million times over with pitching prospects, come up, struggle, maybe get sent down, and then like 2 years from now is when they pop. Like that's how it usually works for pitching prospects. But there's also a chance that he's just so like stupid good that he comes up and he could easily surpass like Ranger and Nola, and then he's right at the top of the rotation. Like the way he's talked about, the way they talk about his maturity, the mechanics, the command, 100 miles an hour, like his strikeout rate, his walk rate, it's all freaking absurd. And we actually have a mega prospect, James. We actually have
it's the best pitching prospect in baseball now. MLB.com, Adam, MLB Pipeline. He's like number one now. He's Adam Grayson.
Well, late.
We have the number one pitching prospect in the sport on the Phillies. Like the number one, like the best one, the top guy.
And the part that made me even happier was that Abel was in there too. You know?
Nine too. Like that's not low.
No.
And Jack, I think it's a really fascinating thing because it's one of those where, to your point, you know, and look, I think the expectation should be set at what you said, that it is likely he will not just come up and dominate. Like he might be fine, he might be good, he might be whatever, but like up and down is just what normally happens with these guys. But when you are this good this young, like when you're pitching at the level that he's been pitching at, as good as he's been pitching, I mean, that's either as a hitter or a pitcher. Like when you're 19 and you're this elite, this ready for the majors, I mean, those are the guys who become inner circle Hall of Famers. You know, those are the guys who become 10-time All-Stars. Like more often than not, when you're this precocious, so to speak, like, you end up being a great player, like outside of injuries and stuff. Like it's more often than not, you know, the guys who come up at this age and can compete at this age, it means you're truly great and have a chance to have a truly great career. And obviously, again, you know, pitchers and injuries and all that. But look, when he comes up, like he, after Wheeler, has the best stuff on the team, right? I mean, like immediately, and like arguably better stuff than Wheeler, like arguably, like he doesn't have the experience and the know-how and the pitching, but just pure stuff. Like this kid is elite, 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 elite. Like he is the best prospect in the sport, the best pitching prospect in the sport, Jack. So yeah, like I think he could be a real difference maker. It's just a real question. Like, what do you do? How do you manage this thing? Because you obviously have to get to the playoffs, and obviously it seems like, you know, there's a clear spot for him in this thing, you know, where there's clearly a open spot at five, and you know, we're gonna see Falter and we're gonna see guys mix in and out and all that. But like this kid's never pitched that many innings. To your point, he's 19, and this is a team that wants to win the World Series. And as far as it goes for me, like I want Andrew Painter to like, if I have a choice, if I have 100 innings of Andrew Painter this year, like I would really like it if like 30 of them were in the playoffs. Like, I don't know if that's a possibility, you know? So like, it's a really 30 would be a lot, but you know what I mean? Let's say 15 of them in the playoffs, whatever. Like, it's a high wire act in a lot of ways too. You know, that how do you use him and when do you use him?
Well, cause remember what happened with Strasburg.
Of course. And many other guys like that. Like that's a classic ace too. I mean, Mark Pryor, Kerry Wood, we've seen a lot of those guys who get used, you know, heavily earlier in their career and just kind of are never the same after it.
So for example, like in what we're talking about here, and now obviously there's some massive examples, you know, like Kershaw ended up being unbelievable and he came up really, really young. Felix Hernandez came up really young and they, you know, became inner circle Hall of Famer. Well, Felix is do you think Felix is a Hall of Famer? I think he is.
Yeah. Oh, he's a Hall of Famer, not an inner circle, but he's a Hall of Famer. Kershaw's, you know, one of the three best of a generation, you know, so.
But the one prospect that I compare him to, and I remember the hype around them was really, really big, and he had the similar kind of projections of this guy's he's going to be a stud, is Giolito.
Sure. Yeah, it took him a little while.
Right, but at the same time, so his last year in Double A, by the way, this is at 21 years old. He had a 9.1 Ks per nine, and he had a walk rate of 4.3 walks per nine. Andrew Painter at Double A, at 19 years old, struck out 12 per nine and had a walk rate of 0.6, James.
Dude, that's insane, dude. That's like, it doesn't seem possible. I mean, Lucas Giolito is the best pitching prospect in baseball.
Yes.
Like,
yes, he was. Yes, he was.
Dude,
yes, he was.
Yo, that's the thing is like, the you know, his rise. To your point, to talk about the mechanics, the maturity, and the pure stuff, and then the numbers, like, it really, like, he should be the number one pitching prospect in baseball. And if he stays healthy, he, Like, he's a Hall of Fame talent, like legitimate Hall of Fame talent. Like, if things go well for Andrew Painter, you know, like, not even like best case is inner circle. Like, that's the kind of talent he has. But if his career, like with what he's done to 19, if his career just continues projecting and he stays healthy, like, he'll be a Hall of Famer. Like, that's what this is at this age.
Forrest Whitley, best pitching prospect in baseball for a couple of years, injuries hurt him and whatever. But for a long time there, untouchable in trades, was the number one pitching prospect in baseball. We get it. 20 years old at AA. 11.6 K per nine, 3.8 walk per nine.
Well, it's, that's the thing. The 0.6 walks
0.6
is
just insane.
It's like, I almost cursed. I was going to say bat crap, you know, as a bat, you know,
yes.
Like it's nonsense. Like, that is nonsensical, man.
Yes. 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 So, like, I know that, and
like Zach Wheeler could go down there and pitch a full season in the minors and probably have a 0.6 walk rate.
Yes.
Like, what are we doing?
And I think, you know, it's funny. People have asked us like how the pod's going to change, like as we get more, as the team's better now and whatnot. But I would say the biggest change in the last couple of years of the podcast is, like, I don't really do the, like, I still have my guys with the prospects, but it's not like this guy's going to be the next, like, superstar. Like, you know, back in my younger days. But it's like with Andrew Painter, it just slaps you in the face. Like, it just slaps you in the face about how good this guy can be. It's hard to factor in what they could possibly be getting here and how much he raises the ceiling for this team. Like, we talked a lot about in the last, you know, offseason about going and trading for an ace and how, I mean, I know I wanted to go get Shane Bieber and whatnot. But, like, there's a very real chance that Andrew Painter just comes up and is in that class, and then 2 years from now is, like, one of the top five pitchers in baseball. Like, that's what we're
like
talking.
Like Walker Buehler or something. Even better.
Yeah.
Actually, even better.
That's what we're talking about.
I was
with
trying
this
to
kid.
Be a young guy. I was like, I did that right away like that.
Yeah. It is freaking insane, man. And, Andrew Painter, not even factoring in. It's like he's in my plans for the 2023 Phillies, but, like, shame on me. It's probably got to be more.
Dude, I the real loser in this whole thing is your poor 2026 Phillies.
I know.
Platform. I don't even know. It was not even a take. It was like a platform.
I couldn't wait.
But, you
I
know.
Couldn't wait.
No, you did. It turned out you didn't have to.
Didn't
Lucky
have
you.
To.
All right. Speaking of, you know, you're not going overboard with these guys, like you just said, and you're much more cool,
yeah,
calm, collected.
Yep.
And in all honesty, I mean, because the Phillies are good, we don't spend quite as much time talking about prospects. You know, for example, over 30 minutes, whatever, into this pod, and you have not talked about this guy, and you know, not to contradict your earlier statement about not going overboard. And honestly, to be fair, this is actually quite underboard for you comparatively. But let me read a tweet from Jack Fritz, and then you know, we'll finally get to him. Jack Fritz, tomorrow the Phils are officially going to sign Starling Caba, and I'm not being facetious when I say he's automatically the best hitting prospect in the system. Legit star potential.
Yep. Is it go time now?
It is very funny though, because you did. We're like, oh, I don't.
I know. I know.
You're like, dude's a superstar.
Dude, I think he's gonna be a star. And some people,
let's go!
Were not happy that I think he's gonna be a star, but whatever. No, I just like I've watched him for ever since last year when I saw that they were linked to him, and everything just looked different. You know, like the last couple of years, I kind of felt like they were looking for more floors and not really ceilings. And every time I watched the kid, whenever I could, like there's not like full games of it or anything. It just every action he has in the field looked different. I mean, Sal Agostinelli said he's the best defensive shortstop he's ever seen.
Friend of the pod.
Yes.
Sal Agostinelli. Thank you.
You know, coming out and saying that he's the best defensive prospect he's ever seen and stuff like that. And it's like, yeah, I see it. Like, that's what it looks like. He just looks different, like, quick twitchy-wise than I feel like the last couple of international signings. Now, I know, obviously, you know, 17 years old, he's got to develop and stuff like this. But at the same time, like, you know, we watch high school players all the time. And, you know, we evaluate them for the draft, and I keep watching this kid. It's like, yeah, I see it. You know, obviously it's a big thing to say the guy has star potential, but just comparatively so, like, in watching the other guys, it's just like he just jumps off the screen more. So I can't wait. Like, it's so fun to think about they already have a 90-plus win roster on the major league level, but there's just little things under the surface that are starting to develop that make you even more excited. Like, that there's possible waves coming of young talent. Now, whether or not they want to use that for the major league roster or use them in trades, like, they're just building this thing, and it's so exciting. I mean, I think it was Alex Coffey that had a whole article today about, you know, what they're building down in Clearwater and how they're building, like they're legitimately calling it pitching and hitting labs. Like, what are we talking about here? It's baseball, but they're doing that stuff. And it's like it's like they're turning into Dodgers-ish East in a way. Like, it's a big market team that knows how to develop pitching. I mean, they've shown that so far, is that they've figured out and revamped their pitching side, so they have a better idea what they're doing there. They have smart dudes in the front office. They got to get the hitting right, but they've identified that as a weakness, so I think that they are on the right track to hopefully turn that around. Like, it's Dodgers Eastie in a way, of big market team that is doing the right thing, spending money on the surface, but under the surface, they're doing all the right things to make it sustainable. And that's the thing that ultimately sunk the 08 to 11 Phillies, is that it was not sustainable. They pinned all of their hopes on Don Brown, you know, coming up and being the next guy that could carry them for the next decade. But it's so exciting to think about where this team is headed, because I think they're just getting started when it comes from the prospect side. Like, I believe that. Like, the drafts are getting better. We have the best pitching prospect in the sport. We got another top 10 guy in Mick Abel. We have Griff McGarry, who I'm genuinely surprised wasn't on that list and might have a higher upside than Mick Abel. So they drafted, you know, two guys in this year's draft. One of them has, you know, similar comparisons to Devin Williams. You know, if you look at, like, his changeup stuff, like, they are, I think they're building it the right way. And I think that they're investing in the right things. I think they're spending wisely. I think they're just turning into a super well-run, smart organization. And I can't believe we're here, James. I can't believe we're here.
Yeah. So what I was going to say to all that you mentioned before, all the people who are, you know, reaching out to you and saying, you know, how's the pod going to change? With this team now and all that, the last 2 minutes, just clip it. That's it. And that's the change. Dodgersy. Jack, smart baseball team stuff. Like, I don't. What world are we? What a beautiful thing, Jack. What a beautiful world we're living in, buddy. All right, I have two things. One is, I need your help, and by proxy, the listeners' help, because you will speak for them, and I trust you to speak for them. And I have a Zoe thing that I think you'll enjoy. Take back before we get there.
Okay. Well, is part of what you have, is it, does it have to do with the birthing class I went to on Saturday?
Oh, buddy, I was waiting for you to bring it up. No, I had nothing to do with the birthing class. I figured you would at some point.
All right, well,
take back or not.
I don't really have anything to take back. Besides,
I mean, I figured, what else could you? You know, I mean,
yeah, not much going on. I pretty much got it all out. Yeah, so, Saturday, Jill and I spent 9 a.m. in the morning until 5 at night, legit, like, work day. Doing a child birthing class. Like, basically it's just like, how's it gonna work? You know, here's what to expect. Here's what we're doing for you here. I don't know. It was good. It was informative. But my problem always in class growing up, James, was that I would just sit there, and if I'm not, I just doze off and start thinking about baseball, you know? And I start thinking about the Phillies. But really, during this, I was like, you know, I got to start, you know, laying out the groundwork for how I'm going to turn my future son into a Hall of Famer.
I see it. You sent it to me.
Yes.
Actually.
Yes. And I have it in front of me.
Yeah, the birth plan. Yes.
Yes.
This is the baby Fritz birth plan. Yes. Is what I'm like. This is an actual thing that Jack sent me during his, like, Mommy and Me class, yeah, or whatever this was. defense. Yeah.
Now let me put the disclaimer out there. Like, you know, obviously if they don't play base, if he doesn't play baseball, it's mostly fine, I think. it's mostly fine. But obviously it'd be fun. And I've already had, like, I legitimately had a dream the other night about being at a little league game. So things are going well. Like, things are, there's definitely not too much expectations currently, for what's going to happen here. So
no expectations. Why don't you read your birth plan?
0 to 2 age wise, work on hand eye coordination, you know, like little things to see, like, all right, how your reflexes here. Can he hit this? You know, like, how, make sure we're moving, make sure we have the right movements. I think that's gonna be important as they grow older. 2 to 6 is catching and throwing, you know, where you start to, you lay the groundwork, like, catch it. Let's work on some feet. Let's throw through the target, not to the target. And I'll start throwing some grounders at him and let him just start, you know, working the hands a little bit, get through the baseball. 6 to 9 age is agility and speed training. Mm-hmm. Now this is fun, mm-hmm, coming from me who has no agility or speed, mm-hmm, but that doesn't mean that we can't work on those kind of things.
You're hiring someone to do this for him, right? Or are you entrusting this to yourself here?
I think I'll hire someone after Little League. And
I just want to say the next one's my favorite. 9 to 12 is my favorite.
Skill refinement and mental toughness.
Mental toughness. Let's go.
Well,
baby Fritz. Oh, I guess at this point, adolescent Fritz. We're toughing you up, buddy. We're coming for you, kid.
Well,
mental toughness time.
Because I think
I'm gonna mentally torture you and see if you can handle it. What does this mean? Give me your mental toughness training.
Well, because I read a quote from, like, Tiger Woods last week about how, like, if he can get in Charlie's head, then everyone can get in Charlie's head. So he's trying to get in his head so that he can block out all of the haters, you know.
Good.
He's trying to block out everyone on tour. So I figured.
So Tiger Woods is your parenting model.
In this instance.
I just want to get, you know, a handle on the situation.
In this instance.
Okay.
In sports only. Yes. So I figured, like,
not taking relationship advice from Tiger is what you're saying, or anything like that.
No. Okay. So, but I figured at this point, like, I could, you know, like, not let him win at anything, you know, and like, oh, you got to beat me first, and like, that's gonna be his big reward as like, oh, I finally beat Dad at a sport. That's gonna be the mental stuff. I'm not gonna like berate him like, you're a loser. You know, I don't think that's what I'm going to do, but I haven't figured out the mental toughness.
Unless he's bad at baseball, then we'll see what happens, yeah, right?
Well, my problem is that I'm, like, not mentally tough at all, so it's going to be weird.
Well, that's why I enjoyed it, because I was like, how are you going to teach him mental toughness? That's what that was my whole question.
I'm relatively.
You're not mentally weak. You're definitely not mentally, but I don't know if I would say you're like.
No. I'm not mentally tough. Yeah, no. So, well, listen. We'll figure it out. 12.
Uncle James will step in and help out with them.
12 to 17 intensive training. I don't know what that means either, but
it's gonna be intensive. That's all we know.
It's good. That's when we work in weightlifting and running and start, you know, get some high level training with trainers and stuff, and then by 18 drafted by the Phillies, obviously.
Doom. Yep. Nailed it.
Now I'm not expecting rounds 1 through 4, but 4 through 10.
I think that's a really fair level expectation to have.
Thank you.
Yeah. I'm impressed with this whole list. I got to be honest.
Thank you.
I'm really excited for this. I can't wait for your kid to get here. Like, get here, kid, please. Baby Fritz, yeah, get here. This is going to be just high level stuff.
It's going to be good content. I'll tell you.
Yeah.
That.
Well, I mean, it's the reason you're having him. So it's good.
Yep. Exactly.
As we've long established, new listeners are like, what the bleep? What did they?
Yeah, very excited. But obviously, disclaimer: whatever they are passionate about, I'll be passionate about. But like, would love for it.
Oh, look at you, gonna be a good dad.
I plan on being a good dad, believe it or not.
You're gonna be a good dad. I think you're gonna be a great dad. I think you're gonna be a top notch dad.
Top notch dad.
Yeah, I really think so.
Thanks,
I think you're going to be great. I really mean it. All right, speaking of dads, this is just for you because I know you'll absolutely love it. And then I need your help, everyone's help through you. Zoe calls the Eagles Phillies.
Love it.
So, like,
that's my girl.
We're watching the Eagles game, and I'd be like, oh, give me like a Go Birds moment. She goes, go Phillies, go. And I'm like, oh, it's the Eagles. She's like, go Phillies, go. And I'm like, okay. we're just gonna roll with that now. So now whenever we're watching the Eagles, like where the Eagles are on, anyway, go Phillies, go. She'll say go Phillies, go. Like she's like go Cubs, go or something. Yeah. I don't know where she got it, but she's her thing is go Phillies, go in any sporting event in the team she's rooting for. It's go Phillies, go.
I like that E-Ray is the high hopes listener.
I know.
Like
I know.
She you passed down the diseased Phillies fan.
Yeah. Yeah, and she's locked in on it.
And who says the younger generation doesn't love baseball?
That's right. That's right, buddy. All right. Second thing. Now I need your help.
Yes.
And it's something that I brought up on the pod. I did this actually, you know, I don't remember when it was, after the World Series or something. But I changed my Twitter bio. You know, and you know me, not a big
Not a big Twitter guy.
Yeah, social media guy, whatever. But I changed it to include the I was in the building for the quote unquote the Bryce Harper home run. And at the time, it felt like, it was the Bryce Harper home run. It's obviously since completely just become Bedlam at the Bank. Like, it's Bedlam at the Bank. That's what everyone calls it. They freaking yearbook called it that and stuff. So I need your, like, do I change it to Bedlam at the Bank? I was in the building for Bedlam at the Bank. Or do I just leave it as is? Because that's what I initially thought it was. And it is still the Bryce Harper home run. I mean, of all his home runs, you know. That's the one, obviously. What do I do here, man? What do I do? It's been plaguing me, man.
So here's what I would do. Is I would say that I rolled my ankle during the Bryce Harper home run.
Well, so I didn't, though. That's the thing. It would be lying. I rolled my ankle during the Bryce Harper home run in Game 3 of the World Series.
Oh.
I didn't do it during the Bedlam at the Bank one.
Damn it.
I know. Trust me. I would have thought I permanently injured my ankle during the Bryce Harper home run. Probably would have been it.
I would say I was in the building for Bedlam at the Bank.
I think
it
so
sounds
too.
Better.
Yes. I think so too. Okay.
That's right. Where I'm at. Also get the 215 out of your bio. I mean, come on.
I have a 215 in my bio? Hold on.
Yeah. It's like one of those it's 215.
But it's not like it's because it's my location. It's just my location. Oh, so you can not have anything there?
Oh, you don't have to have anything there. No,
I took it out.
You're gonna have Philadelphia.
It's gone. My location's gone. All right. So should Bedlam at the Bank be in quotes or no? What do you think?
Yes, I think it has to be in quotes.
Okay, so I was in the building for Bedlam at the Bank.
Yes, correct.
Nope, not Beckham.
Nope.
Is there anything more annoying than autocorrect, or is it like the single most annoying thing in the world?
I used to fight autocorrect and just turn it off, but then I was like, you know what?
I've never turned it off. I accept it. I understand that it is it does more good than bad for me, but the bad really bothers me.
Yeah, it is ducking BS.
So that's pretty good. Look at you. All right, it's changed. It's official. So
it looks better. It looks better.
Yeah, it does. It's cleaner. You're right. You're right. All right, that's all I got. So thanks for having me. You got anything else?
Nah, 52 minutes is perfectly fine.
You got a haircut anyway. So before the pod, Inside Baseball, I was like, oh, do you want to get out a certain time? And you're like, no, we're good or whatever. I was like, oh, I'll try and be up by like 7 or I honestly just forgot about your haircut.
It's all good. It's just a haircut.
Let's get out of here. We'll talk to you guys soon. Back next week, you know, we'll be there probably on StreamYard. You know, check us out. We'll do it live and all that stuff. That's all I got. Go Phillies, go! Let's get some Celtics.